everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Yesterday we took on a subject of suicide, talking about something that most professionals would be afraid to talk about, because they fear somewhere somebody's going to sue them for giving license to or suggesting one thing or another. There's always somebody who is going to object. I ask you for your emails. I received many emails about what we were talking about, and this is going to be a new system we'll use, as well as phone calls when you want to call in. During the program, we are going to monitor emails. Armand@thepositivemind.com. If something comes in related to the subject we're talking about and we could address it, we'll bring it up right on air. But we could also handle your calls. Today, I want to talk about something special. Today, I want to talk about the sexual predators. And you hear just from that very word that I'm talking about the bad guys, you know, and the judgment is there. But I want to talk about this, the very essence of it. Priests, rabbis, bishops, deacons, senators, presidents, just about any guy with a thing. You know what I mean? It's just, this is, men seem to be, who are in power, seem to misuse that power sometimes against somebody who they harm, children, for example. And let's talk about that. If you took a look at the New York Post, Fox News, and the Weekly Standard, you get a good idea of who Rupert Murdoch is. Now imagine one very powerful figure is a CEO of three competing companies. And all three of these companies have different influence everywhere. Now what if, you know, so if he were to say, you know, he routinely has control of three different things, the newspapers, the magazines, right, the TV. And then you take a look and you say, well, does someone who has the power over three different factions, should they have the right to have that power? Well, let's think about religion. Catholicism, Judaism, and Islam share a strange and shameful propensity to be under the power of one aegis, the aegis of God, or whatever it's called, Hashem, or whatever you call it. And despite the war-generating differences that each one of them have, thousands of children have been abused by the different religions over the years. Now, I have a prejudice, and I want to state that prejudice in advance. I have seen the harm of organized religion, and I see organized religion sometimes gets fanatical. I know of people who bind children to chairs and beat the devil out of them. As a kid, I went to a parochial school where I saw the nuns and priests beating the children, and we all accepted that this is the way it was, that we were to get beaten. We didn't see any sexual abuse, but it was, you know, beating a child was like, that's what you do. Why do the children become the object of the religious supposed leaders with the condoning of the parents who say, here's my child, beat him up, beat the devil out of him, drown them in holy water. We talk about the abuses that go on to children in the name of religion. I mean, think about circumcision. Circumcision, which has proven itself to be pretty much, with a little bit of variation, but unnecessary. An unnecessary cruelty to a baby. Or worse than that, clitorectomies. Things that are done in Africa in the name of religion. Right, things that happen to women, that they do to women, all in the name of religion. Dare I get on the air and talk about this. Well, you know I'm going to hear from them. Because some of the people I know are deeply religious people, dedicated to God in their own way. But the people I know don't abuse people. They find religion in a different kind of way. Ireland is now reeling after a government commission concluded that students of more than 200 Catholic schools were molested or subjected to sadistic punishment for some 60 years, while a culture of silence protected the abusers and perpetuated these crimes against the innocents, the Abu Ghraib of babies, of children, according to religion. The same story in the U.S. Abusers shuffled around to new schools if the parents dared to complain. Extreme punishment was a feature of the boys' schools. Prolonged, excessive beatings with implements, even spankings. You know, I mean, the whole idea of paddling children. All right, so I don't mean to gross you out with this, and I don't want you to get you all fired up. I want to understand it, and I want you to understand with me. I want us to not just sit in judgment of it, because it's clear there is no judgment. Chop off the hands of anybody who hurts a baby. But how do we understand how this takes place and why it takes place? What's going on? Is it all about sexual frustration? Is it all about the fact that, you know, these people are basically sadists? No, I don't believe it is. But it's worth thinking about why the sexual victimization of children is shared by at least three of the world's major religions. Let's look at some facts. There are a lot more myths than facts banded around about the clergy, sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Here are 6 points. Catholic clergy are not more likely to abuse children than other clergy or men in general. According to the best available data, this is a study at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, 4% of Catholic priests in the USA sexually victimized minors during the past half century. No evidence has been published at the time that states that this number is higher than any other religious tradition. So 4%, bad apples. The 4% figure is lower than school teachers, who are 5% during the same time frame. 17% of American women and 12% of American men were sexually violated when they were children by an adult. That's a very important factor. That means you, or four of your friends, or one of your four friends. Factor number two. The clergy sexually abused in the Catholic Church can't be blamed on celibacy. Not having sex does not make children the object of one's desires. One of the things we would think is, well, since you can't have sex in the Catholic Church, that's what frustrates a guy. And therefore, that's why he turns it out. If Catholic clergy aren't more likely to be sex offenders than other clergy, then celibacy can't be blamed for it. Most sex offenders are not celibate clergy. Most are married or partnered. So most of the sexual offenders out there are married. See? Furthermore, many men who don't have sex for a variety of reasons don't turn to children for sexual gratification. They don't. When you're asexual, you're asexual. They turn to other consenting adults. Think about it. If you don't have sex, who becomes the object of your desire? Children or other adults? Usually it's other adults. So it is not the result of celibacy. Doesn't seem to be what drives it. How about homosexuality? Shall we blame it on homosexuality? There's a whole group out there who would like to blame it on that. Although the vast majority of victims are boys, 80% of the people sexually victimized are boys, which is surprising because girls seem to be so much more vulnerable. 25% homosexuality does not make men sexual offenders. In fact, there was a lower rate of sexual offense by homosexual men who admitted being homosexual, than there was by heterosexual, meaning heterosexual men in the clergy. No evidence exists that sexual orientation in and of itself can make someone risk or can put someone at risk to commit sex crimes. All right? Number four. Clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church can't be blamed on an all-male clergy. If Catholic clergy aren't more likely to be sex offenders than other clergy from other traditions, then an all-male clergy can't be blamed. Having women clergy does not stop sex offenders from offending. Having women clergy there doesn't do it, and many women clergy are sex offenders as well. Number five. Almost all of the clergy sexual abuse cases in the Catholic Church that we hear about in the news are from decades ago, usually the 60s and 70s. Now, that's another myth. Although these stories are horrific to hear, they almost never about incidents that occurred in the late 80s. Incidents of abuse in the past 20 to 25 years seem to be rare compared to the ones of the 60s and 70s. So it seems that most adults now who are talking about it now are talking about what happened to them in the 60s, 70s. There was more then. Whatever was going on, there was more. Maybe it was just the discipline. Maybe it's what showed up later. But what we're seeing is a lot of adults going back and saying, what happened to me back in the 60s and 70s? Number six. Most clergy sex offenders are not pedophiles. Research tells us that 80% of the clergy sex offenders abuse post-pubescent teens, not pre-pubescent children. So there is no such thing as a pedophile priest. You might say that it doesn't matter, but both categories involve victimizing minors. True, but the risk factor... People may be worried about young children being victimized, but they may neglect the more likely victim, which is the teenager, because there's something about the pubescent boy that seems to be more attractive than the child itself. So it's not pedophilia in that form of it. Perhaps the real issue here is that many are outraged with church leaders, especially bishops, whom they believe have been defensive and arrogant. People demand responsibility and accountability, and they don't see it happening. But of course, we never see it happening. We don't see it with the senators. We don't see it with the government. When people are accused of a sexual exposure, very few of them go the Tiger Woods way and throw up their hands and say, yeah, that was me, if we call what he did abuse. No, they defend themselves. And you can imagine why they defend themselves. And we're going to talk about the personality that goes into making clergy. What makes a person go there in the first place? The secrecy, the otherworldliness of the Catholic Church also makes the story of child sexual abuse committed by priests of great interest to the media in general. Because they want to trash it. I mean, people are talking about the end of the Catholic religion. You know, the Pope resigning. It's kind of funny stuff. But maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that we demystified all of the religion. Maybe it's time we looked at it and we said, what's really going on with all of this? Do you have to lose your religion if you lose the formal form of it? Finally, many of the 25% of Americans who are Catholic have ambivalent feelings about their church to begin with. So this is not just because of sexual abuse of children. 25% of almost all people who are Catholic, when they get to be adult age, are very ambivalent about their Catholicism. One of the comments I heard about Match.com is people write in it, I'm Catholic but not religious. Right, which means I had a Catholic experience, but, I got kind of disappointed with the church. I remember when I was a kid that we were all Catholic altar boys. We were like kids in the church, and our priest carried a gun. Right, and he wasn't a priest, actually. He was a brother. But he was like the guy who guided us around. And he would pull out the gun occasionally and point it at us and say, you kids get out of line, I'll shoot you. True story. We got scared by him. Right? We used to look at the cross, and we would see Jesus on a cross nailed in. And they would say, that's what happens to you when you disobey. That's what they would do with our poor little minds. They'd punish us, lock us in closets, spank us with rulers. So, you know, how favorable could we grow up? Yet, there are priests I've known of different kinds, Catholic priests, rabbis. There are people I've known who are Zen priests, who I've loved and thought were beautiful people and who were true guides in this world, really, really doing well. So people are very disappointed with themselves in religion. Many who were raised in the church during previous generations have deep emotional stories of priests and nuns who had impossibly high standards. Let me be clear. First, before we continue today's program, the sexual victimization of children by anyone is inexcusable. Church officials protecting offenders rather than victims is also inexcusable. There's much to be angry about. Many even get more upset when accountability and responsibility doesn't seem to occur. Many reasonable and thoughtful people argue that the Catholic Church should allow married men, women, and those who are homosexual to be ordained as priests and deacons to prevent the clergy from having this happen. But the current data on clergy abuse just doesn't support it. It's just, there are bad apples. 4% of them. And now they're coming out of Europe and South America, and we're going to be learning more and more, and it won't be limited to just one religion. It'll be limited to all the religions. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. What makes someone attracted to the clergy? Well, you know, if you think about it, who becomes? In many religions, you're born into the clergy. If you have a father who's a rabbi, by the time you're 30, or is it 20, you're expected to be a rabbi. So some people are born into the position. It's expected of you. Other people elect it. Who elects to be a priest, a deacon, a minister? Who wants to be up there? What do you get out of it? Let's think about it. Think about yourself as a priest. What are you saying about yourself? You're saying, I am here to correct the evil of the world. By the way, if you want to start sending me emails, it's armand@thepositivemind.com. We will be taking your emails and telephone calls later. So you say, I am a good guy, first of all, because I wear a robe. And you know, if I wear a robe, then I'm a good guy. I am a nun. I wear a nun's habit. And you can't get me out of my habit. I am a good person. Therefore, I am beholding to God and I am close to God, right? I often wondered if the Pope felt so close to God, so close, guaranteed going to heaven, right? Why would he ride around in a bulletproof car? What's going to happen? You're going to die and go to heaven? I would be so upset if I died and wound up in heaven. Boy, would the joke be on me. Imagine that. Imagine dying and then you wake up and you're in heaven. You go, oh my God, what a fool I was. All this time. Some of us fear that. People fear that. They fear that there is an unknown. A lot of people fear Hades. They don't believe in heaven, but they believe in hell. They believe that you die, and then you go to this eternal damnation. They don't know what it's like to be poor in America. You know what I mean? They don't know what it's like to be in Abu Ghraib. They don't know what it's like to be in Afghanistan. How bad can it get? So, but just to go back, what makes a person elected? So we have two people. We have one person who is saying, I am going to make right in the world. Let's think about that person. They walk around and they are saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and if you do this, you'll be right. If you say the prayers, you'll be right. If you convert to Catholicism or Judaism or Hinduism or Zoroastrianism or whatever else it is, you're going to get right. What you need to do is accept God, swallow God, embrace Jesus, marry God, do this. Now, of course, you hear behind me my sarcasm about it, but in all truth, how do I know? Maybe I will die and wind up in heaven. Well, I don't know, maybe for doing this program. Maybe I'm being put on the short list for the other direction just because I'm doing the program today. Wish me luck, friends. Say prayers when I go. So, let's go back to that. Who says I am the judge? Well, here's what happens. Most of the people who become, elected to become clergy are perfectionists. Yes, and if you could look at them real closely, you'll see it. They're very neat. They wear tight collars. It reminds me of Elmer Gantry. It's like, this is, oh, you sinners. The guy who could stand up on top and scream out against the sinners. Who is he talking about? That is a perfectionist. Now, the perfectionists, the ones who are perfectionists, who become clergy, priests, rabbis, leaders, robe guys, you know, they are correcting something that they perceive. They believe that there is an imperfection, and they have to correct it. So they see you, and they help you examine your sins. They help you examine your sins, and they help you, they start correcting you, and they start telling you what's wrong. Now, here's the problem that we learned. Most people who are perfectionists believe that there is an evil in the world. But the truth of it is, they believe the evil is inside them. Yes, almost every person I ever met who elected to become a religious leader really felt like they were evil inside. And what they're trying to do is correct their own inner evil self. Even though there is no inner evil self, they think there is. Many of them are people who were told as children not to get angry. So they think that just by getting angry, they're evil. They're told the devil is inside them just because they become angry. See, so now they're trying to correct the evil of the world. And what they're going to do is they're going to correct it. So if they see a bunch of pagans, and they have an army, and the Catholic Church has an army of Romans, and these Romans can go and kill all the pagans, we're now wiping out the evil by killing it. Of course, not just the Catholic Church. Every religion and every religious war comes this way. All religious wars are just the same way. You are evil. We are not. We're going to destroy you. But of course, what do you use to destroy another person but your evil self? Where do you get the energy to kill somebody else? I knew a young man who told me yesterday about watching his mother kill a mouse just by squashing it because she felt like doing it. And he said he watched her. The mouse was in the garden, and she took her cane and she kind of killed the mouse. And he looked at it as a child and he said, but why? Why would you do this? Because something in her perceived an evil. And she put it on the outside of us. How does this relate to the abuse of the children? For everyone who fights so hard to correct an evil on the outside, there is a concomitant evil inside them waiting to flourish. When you feel that the burden of the world is on your shoulders, that you are this poor minister who works so hard at gathering the church and getting the people, and you feel so justified because nobody takes care of you, there's a piece of you that feels justified in doing just about anything. So let's say you're some kind of a religious leader, and a young woman comes along and she admires you. And you're a male, and she admires you, and she says, how wonderful you are. How fantastic you are. What can I do, Father, Reverend, Rabbi? You know, to make you happy, can I serve you in some way? And you say to her, well, come to my cabin and take off your clothing and I will bring you closer to God. Because the temptation is there, because they are looking. There's a part of them that feels this, I deserve it. And almost every leader we know, including political leaders, feel justified in their sexual expression because they feel like they have a right to it, because they feel so justified by the frustration of what they've put out there in the world in trying to correct the world. Of course, it all comes from the inside of them. So there's a part of them on the inside, and you have to understand this. The people who are the abusers are correcting, in some way, an evil inside themselves by being evil. And they justify it. Well, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're taking on a daring thing here. I'm expecting any minute now somebody may walk in with a bomb attached to them, you know, and saying, hey, not my religion, fella. But we have to look at it, because we can't look at it just with judgment. We can't just look at these guys and say, what bums they are. We have to look at it and say, what did we put together here? How did we create this? How did we create the very religions that foster these kind of people doing these things to children? And we as parents, how did we turn our kids over to these guys, right? And say, here, punish them. Beat the devil out of them. And how do we perpetuate it? By carrying the message of God as being two children, that they have basically sit some kind of evil inside of them. Because when you do that to a kid, and you let a kid believe that they are evil, then that kid allows anybody to abuse them because they believe it's justified. Yeah, do it to me because I'm a bad kid, because I know I'm a bad kid because I got mad at my mother. And my mother tells me I'm evil. So it's not just the priests. It's not just the religions. It's not just the senators. It's all of us. We're all a part of this abuse of the innocents. And so instead of standing on a soapbox and saying, hang them up, castrate them, destroy them, let's figure out what part we're doing to make this happen. I, of course, want to take your phone calls. I know you're going to be loaded. I know you may get angry at me. Please have mercy on my poor soul. I'm just trying the best I can to bring stuff out to you. But you can get me, thepositivemind.com, right? Armand at thepositivemind.com. Send me an email. I will address it. I'm sorry about all the emails yesterday that I didn't address. There were many, many, many responses from you people about the issue of suicide. I didn't know what a hot subject it is. I'm sure this is going to be a hot subject because we're going to hear from people who went through religious stuff. And of course, the only position to take is thou shalt not hurt children. But I also want to understand. I want to understand there are good guys out there who are beautiful religious leaders who are doing wonderful for the world. They have dedicated themselves through the vehicle of what they call God to really be messengers of peace. And a small percentage of them are destructive, uncontrolled, evil guys. As if evil is really a word. Very disturbed guys. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back with you, I'm going to be taking your calls. We'll talk more about this. And I know we're going to be loaded. The telephone number here is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more on the issue.
VAI, New York.
Esperei na lua crescer, picadeira boa, sentei, espirrei na tua, gripei, por ficar ao léu.
And this is Armand DeMille back with you, with The Positive Mind. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. If you've been missing the music lately, we're working with a new system that we should be able to get fixed in a short period of time so that I could bring you some of my wonderful selections. Right now, we're limited to 30 seconds, which is what you hear, which is why whenever you go to Amazon to listen to a sample of music or iTunes, they only play you 30 seconds. You never knew that, right? You often wondered, why do they cut out after a show? They're only allowed 30 seconds, because after 30 seconds, they got to pay royalties. So we're trying to figure that out here at WBAI. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about the bad apple priests, you know, pedophiles. From media reports, one might infer that Catholic priests committed most pedophilia. In fact, only a tiny fraction of child sex abusers are priests. We know who the pedophiles are from the National Sex Health Survey, which is a big survey that was done on 8,400 Americans aged 18 to 88. Here are the questions. Have you ever been forced or frightened into having sex? 7% of the respondents reported such feelings. 7% feel that they have been forced or frightened into having sex. Victims were asked in what age they were molested. Abuse spanned all ages 3 to 17, but victims were most likely to be 6 to 10 or 14 to 17, one of those two ranges. Teens accounted for 49% of the victims. So it happens mostly to teenagers. Which I think, if you begin to get it, just think about nature, right? Nature gives you these hormones, and then you start sending out chemical signals at a certain point. If you're a female teen, you start sending out your estrus. You say, here, I'm ready for sex. And that's what nature gives you, you know, like you, it's your time. And then if you're a boy, you're hormonally rampant. You're just out there, you know? And you can practically smell the sexual energy of teenage boys. So that must incite, in some people, the attention, because the most of the people who are abused are boys. Teenage boys, not girls. Abusers' age range from 10 to 70, but half were in their 20s. So who are the molesters? Strangers. Dates, friends, acquaintances, parents, step-parents, and other relatives. Dates, friends, and acquaintances are the largest group of assailants. 40% of the people who abuse children are either acquaintances or friends, followed by non-parent. Let me get my statistics down right here. Non-parent relatives. Now, non-parent relatives, you got to watch out for them. You leave your uncle alone. You leave your brother alone with a baby girl. There's so much temptation or a baby boy. 23%. Strangers, 10%. Parents, 6%. 6% of parents of children who were abused by a parent. Well, wait a minute. 4.5% were abused by the clergy. That means that parents abuse children more sexually than the clergy do by percentage. Victims under 12 are typically abused by caregivers, parents, step-parents, and relatives. The others are teachers, neighbors, doctors, grandparents, gardeners, repairmen. There's something about people who work around the house. I think if people work around the house, they have a resentment towards the house they work around. You have a repairman, you have somebody who's a gardener. I think there's a reason why there's such a high incidence of it. Because in some way, they are angry at the person they work for. Why am I tending your roses when my children can't even eat? And in some way, by abusing a child in the house, they take power over the house. By moving into the house and doing something with the children, seducing them, controlling them, doing something with them, they are in a way trying to balancing it. I'll do to you because I'm less than you. Parents should monitor adults, especially the young adults who supervise their children. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. So what do you feel about this? How about your telephone calls? 212-209-2800. And I'm cautious, but I'll be listening.
2900.
I'm sorry, 212-209-2900. Poor Jennifer. She's getting ready for her vacation. 212-209-2900. We have any calls there, Michael, yet?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi, this is Roxy.
Hello, Roxy.
I'm so glad you're doing your show today. And I'd like to bring up four little aspects here that need to be discussed. I think you're going a little bit easy on the statistics because children who are molested have a lot of shame and they're not all talking. But the other side of this is...
Okay, well, good point.
Yes. Yeah,
because it, like suicide, let me take what you're saying, Roxy.
Sure.
I'm going to stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like suicide, we suspect only a third are reported.
Exactly.
There are three times as many as we suspect. And the same thing about suicide attempts.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised by it myself. So thank you. Very good clarification.
The other issue is that I feel that in this climate of teabag rage and what have you, it's time that many people look at the PBS special called The Secrets of the Inquisition. It was produced and shown on all the metropolitan PBS stations recently. If you get a chance to see that, boy, you get a different view on it. Another issue I'd like to bring up is the fact
well,
that...
Well, wait a minute. Back up a second, Roxy.
Uh-huh.
What touched you about it? Because, you know, let's talk about it. You watch this thing, and you're really passing it on to me, and I will watch it.
Oh,
know?
I think everybody should watch
it. Yeah, but
it.
What touched you?
It's a real good thing. And probably
but what touched you,
library.
And where were you when you were... Did you ever get any of this abuse as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it. Tell me.
Well, I was...
I mean, I could get much
police,
more... I could
by,
get...
By a priest in Lambertville, New Jersey. And Lambertville was considered the penultimate assignment for the Touch and Diocese. Because it was right next to New Hope, and we had a nice gay community there. They figured that it would let off some of the steam. It was also a blue-collar community where you probably wouldn't have gotten away with much.
Well, Roxy, assaulted. What did it mean, assaulted?
I mean, thrown around, beaten up by.
Beaten up by.
Yeah, yeah.
In but Catholic school, or what?
No, because I was not, you know, by the time I was 7 years old, I was figuring out that these people were nuts.
So you got the point. Now, you see, now this is a very important thing. Some of us figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I looked up and I said, this can't be right. The guy with the gun cannot be representative of Jesus.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And but other kids didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They believed. They trusted.
Mm. Sure. And that's the issue. It's that breaking of trust and the authority issue. And I'd like to segue into another aspect of how our government was taken over in 1980 when Ronald Reagan came in and Roger Ailes, who now runs Fox News, studied Jimmy Carter's real faith. And then we had this whole new dynamic of everybody's got to have Jesus in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that was used to exploit us terribly. I mean, you know, oh, yeah, of course, yeah. We're going to balance the budget, and you know all these defense contractors were out of you know completely out of control. We had all kinds of wars and all kinds of repressive dictators.
Okay, but it's getting a little away from it.
But it's been used, and the Catholic Church has abused for so long, and that's why that this particular Secrets of the Inquisition will be so enlightening to so many people.
Yeah,
because it started in France. It worked its way down through Spain. It's about five parts, and it's absolutely
Well, I'll be sure to see that, Roxy. I want to thank you very much for being as astute as you are. But, you know, you're the kind of person that nobody could mess with.
Oh, actually, I have been messed with. I've had some other abuse since that time, which caused the loss of my sight.
Wow.
So I'm very fierce. And
I hear.
I lost my ability to make my living in the arts because of this abuse, because of this assault in Florida. And I'm telling you, when you have parents who decide that you're going to be the nun and you're going to be the priest and that you're supposed to admire and respect people who are doing all kinds of voodoo, even though in our parish in Lambertville, I didn't really feel that there was a whole lot going on, the cruelty was so intense. And the pressure was so intense.
Roxy, I want to thank you very much for bringing it to us. I will tune into The Secrets of the Inquisition. Thank you very much.
You probably have to rent it on DVD.
I'll take care of it.
Righto. Bye.
Thank you. What a good spirit for somebody who's gone through such a rough time, huh? 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there. 212-209-2900.
Not yet.
All right. We're going to get another one of your calls in just a second. Oh, here's Austin sending me a letter. Hey, sex. Would you consider the... Are men seen as more abusive because the plumbing is external, right? Not just a justification, but it's a good thought, Austin. Men seem to be more abusive because they were built in. There seems to be something built into this testosterone that says you must in some way search out the sexual. And so it's probably true that more men are prone to it than women. More men are prone to it, but we certainly have heard enough cases. We've heard enough cases of this. Now let's talk about this perfectionistic attitude that people have.
Okay.
Let's take a call first. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. My name is Carol, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hello, Carol.
I've never thought until today when I was listening to you earlier, this is the first time I'm listening to your show, that this possibly could have anything to do with parents. But as I thought about it, any child that is instilled with any kind of love or just self-worth, you would never, even a child would speak out about that. I would imagine that when I was a kid, somebody could get away with something like that with me. You know, it's a shame to say it, but that would have been easy to do. First of all, you know, my parents were too busy doing their own crap to even consider that, you know, something like this might be happening with their child. Another point of it is I grew up in a Baptist church. I'm not even talking about Catholics now. And people like that, people in the church, people in the school system, they were gods. They were gods. So, you know, it was easier to get away with something like that. But I really do feel, though, if you just didn't, you know, it sounds so simplistic, but just giving a little bit more care and a little bit more concern and just instilling in, not beating your child down, you know, not beating your child down and making them feel worthless, that would just be the start of something like that being impossible to happen. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, but let me ask you. So in effect, you're saying parents indirectly are responsible.
And I never thought that until today. I'm a parent. Yes.
And so let's go back to what happened to you as a kid. Did you feel you were vulnerable to this kind of stuff?
Absolutely, because my parents were not the kind. First of all, you weren't built up in any kind of way. I think to this day, what could have become of my life, excuses, but what could have become of my life if my parents had encouraged me, told me that, you know, you grow up, you go to college, you have sex when you get married, and all those other kind of, those are the things that lots of kids grow up without. So some guy in a long robe, doing Hail Mary, can come along and tell you anything.
And what happens is you could believe it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think parents do need to pay a little bit closer attention to what's going on. Don't take for granted just because this joker is in a position of authority that, you know, that they're above you, that their position takes, you know, trumps yours.
Well, you know, part of what goes on here, Carol, is that parents all got this from their parents.
Yes,
you see,
I agree.
You see, what happens is they were given this kind of belief, and here's the belief that there's a clergy who has got to be respected in some form or other.
With all the answers,
and so parents who feel powerless turn towards the clergy or whoever, and they say, here, help me with my child because I don't know how to control them.
I agree.
And so they become victims of it just as well. But you're absolutely right. You as a parent, Carol, are now taking responsibility and saying, you know, no, I'm not just going to let my kid get the guidance of somebody without me keeping an eye on it.
Without me being involved. And right. I mean being involved to the ultimate, you know. And I'm just sorry. Things happen to us all, unfortunately, and you're absolutely right. It is an unending circle. You do get exactly what your parents got. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They grow up, they give it to you, and then if somebody doesn't come along, you're going to give it to yours. And so we just stop and look at ourselves. What are we putting in? What are we planting in there? It can be stopped, but we've got to look at ourselves and not be afraid to look at ourselves.
Is it the first time you've listened to today's program?
It absolutely
is. Yeah, I mean,
to
WBAI and The Positive Mind?
I have just so happened to just come across it, and I'm just so happy.
That's remarkable. You know, if you go to the website, you can hear many other programs as well, archives. I'm really glad you contribute, and you're a very good part of it. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call if it's available. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
I'm good.
My name is Jackie.
Hello, Jackie.
And, you know, hi. The longer I live and listen to people like you, the more I know I'm not losing my mind, because for many years now I've been saying there's no way I would ever let a teenager watch my children. I have three young adopted children. I've had them all since they were infants. And I couldn't even find a babysitter when they were very young that would take care of them properly. So I just told my husband, there's no way I'm going back to work. I didn't bring these kids into my home to dump them on other people who can't even clean their little bottoms properly. But I remember when I was a teenager and I saw what certain teenagers did with the kids their parents were babysitting for. I will never let a teenager babysit for my children. Their hormones are all over the place. They're freaky.
Yeah, so it is, but, you know, here's the thing. Don't you ever feel tired of having to watch the children? Don't you ever feel that exhaustion from the vigilance? You know, you want to park them in front of a TV? I mean, what about what we're giving them with televisions? You know, when you park a child in front of a television, and the child is being stimulated sexually right and left and being seduced one way or another, or you turn them over to the webs, and, you know, they're getting the same thing on the web. I mean, parents get exhausted. What did you say?
It's a nightmare, the radio. It's a nightmare. Everything you just spoke about, it has become a living nightmare.
Well, living nightmares are big words.
Oh,
it has become difficult. And parents have such a big job if they're trying to do it properly. It's such a huge job. I don't know how a parent could do it and do everything else that they have to do, because the world has gotten so big. And I think this is part of why, related to yesterday's program, we have such a high incidence of suicide among teenage kids.
Yes, I agree.
They are flooded with stuff and no place to turn.
It's too much.
And we're learning. No, it's not too much. Because we are an adaptation. Because this is a generation of people who are learning how to do it better. In the old days, we used to just kill each other. And we used to live a short life. Now we're living a longer life, and we're all trying to learn how to live on a higher level. And in order to do that, we have to ask the questions, not just sit in judgment, not throw up our hands in frustration, but ask the question, how are we going to deal with this?
But Armand, are people actually trying to live on a higher level spiritually or superficially?
Both, I'm sure. Both. But I think if I knew every person in the world who could do it, if I could ask everybody what they would like most of all, almost everybody would say peace.
I definitely would.
I would like to be at peace. I would like to feel safe. I would like to feel calm. And I think that's a high spiritual level.
I think so, too.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you,
You're
Jackie. Welcome. 212-209-2900. Such beautiful people. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm very interested in your show. I'm a Catholic, and I wanted to discuss my feelings. It's been very, very difficult for me, these latest revelations about the Church. I mean, we just got over, you know, this last round of scandals, and now there's a new one, and it's right at the Pope's front door. I sent an email to the Pope, to the Vatican, saying that he should step down. It's just absolutely awful.
It's awful to you because there's a part of you that wants to maintain your attachment to the Church, right?
Yes, and it's been, you know, I've had great experiences there. I felt the Holy Spirit. I go to healing masses. You know, it's just been wonderful, and we need someone leading the Church that has no history of any of this stuff. We need someone with a moral compass that's, you know, sterling.
Well, you know, I'm just not so sure if it's going to come that way. I remember many years ago when I worked in Wall Street that we used to handle the Vatican account. The Vatican investment account, where I worked. And in the Vatican investment account, they would make decisions based on something that they were going to do in the future, like banning the pill, you know, and stuff like that. They were investors, and they would buy real estate, and they would sell real estate, and it was a corporation. At the very, very top of it, the Vatican is a business. Now, somewhere within the Vatican are the priests, the bishops, the people who hold holy the human spirit, somewhere within that. But it's the organization itself is a business, and every religion is a business. Now, what you want is you want the sanctity of the peace of the business that helps you hold your spirit holy. And you could do that one way or another if the Church needs to kind of clean itself out, however it does it. Let it do it. I would much rather the bishop doesn't step down. I would much rather he stayed in there and worked to correct the part that he and everybody else before him or anybody in the future may be a part of. I would rather he took the rap.
Yeah, it's
you know what I mean? I would rather he stood up there like a true leader and said, it's on me.
Well, if, you know, they did a study and they said that the worst graduating class of the priests were, you know, the early 70s. And,
right.
And, you know, it's there's a homosexual subculture in the Church. And here these people are hearing confessions, and they have, you know, they've got a lot of contact with the kids, and I have kids myself, you know, and it's just...
But as we've kind of proven from the statistics, being homosexual doesn't lead you more towards doing any sexual abuse. In fact, there was a lower sexual abuse among the ones who stated themselves as homosexual.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, there might have been a subculture that these guys were saying to each other, you know, look what we've got here. We've got, you know, all the respect you could possibly want, and we've got access to kids. I mean, that's, you know, that's what might have been going on within that subculture. And that's a very small percentage of the overall number of priests, but there were some that were doing that. And maybe the guys in the higher up had those tendencies, and they were a little bit too lenient with people that had that tendency and looked the other way, which is really, I mean, it's horrific. And Jesus said that the wolves would guard the sheep, and there definitely have been wolves there, and there's definitely been sheep that have been wronged. I mean, I feel so sorry for these kids.
Well, it looks like you may have a job as a shepherd.
Yeah.
I mean, you're part of it. You're part of it because you could be part of the beauty of it, you know, holding it sacred in your own way.
I mean, it is, it's, you know, the essence of the of you know, Christianity and belief and faith in Jesus is really a wonderful thing, and to, you know, that this would happen, it was predicted, and it has happened, and it's happening now, and it just, and the fact that the young kids, you know, we don't get many young kids in the Church at all. The younger generations are not interested in Europe and in the United States.
I want to thank you for calling in. We have to be going.
All right. Well,
your name is, by the way?
Taking my call.
Okay, sure.
All right, thanks.
This is Armando Mill with you. We have to be going, my friends. Hot subject. Thank you for all of the way that you've handled it. Do feel free to send me the emails. Armand@thepositivemind.com. I will be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. My special thanks to Cynthia McWright for helping us. McWright for helping us with the show today.
Tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. Ooh, daddy, don't touch me there. I'm gonna tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. Every day I wonder why my daddy had to be the one to take away my innocence. Oh, sometimes I wanna die. It feels like no one cares for me, and it's evident that something must be wrong with me. I'm not as happy as I seem to be. The long showers I take don't wash away the memories. Why do I have to face these tragedies? We go through struggles in life on my way, but to have my daddy touching me, that's just not fair. Stop him from destroying my future. Believe me, he's behaving like a creature. Daddy, don't touch me there. I'm gonna tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. Ooh, daddy, don't touch me there. I'm gonna tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. To all your mothers out there, give a listening ear. Pay attention, even if the man a pastor. You have to make sure before you trust him with your daughter. Plus him will even try to take your son as brother. Watch it, make me dunk him with some dirty water. You can't hide no more, no, you have to meet your karma. If you know say it's a go on and turn a blind eye, then your judgment a go pile up out a mile high. Get suicidal if you think it a go save you, because me sure say you not go get to see the savior. Me just can't find a name for your behavior. It's a lucky thing we got a nosy neighbor. Daddy, don't touch me there. I'm gonna tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. Ooh.